Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning is Jesus separating the sheep from the goats as recorded by St. Matthew in the 25th chapter. Please be seated. There's no question about it. There will be an end. There will be an end to coronavirus and all disease, an end to all wars and violence, an end to suffering, shame, and most especially an end to sin. We don't know when it's going to come, not the day nor the hour. It could come today, next week, or the week after, maybe next year or in 100 years. We just don't know. But what we do know is life as we know it in this broken and sinful world will come to an end on the last day when Christ returns in glory. Heaven and earth will pass away, giving way to a new heaven and a new earth. Just as you confess every week in the Creed, and you just confessed a little bit ago, Jesus will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. It's a day that'll bring comfort and joy to all who trust in Christ for eternal salvation. However, it'll be a day of terror and the beginning of a long period, eternal period of punishment for all who do not believe. On Judgment Day, the Lord himself will descend with a cry of command, with the trumpet of God. All the dead will be raised up into the air to meet him. And those who are still alive at that day, they all too will be caught up together with him in the clouds. At that time, God, the Son of Man, will take his rightful place on his glorious throne and preside over the heavenly courtroom. And it is there where he will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep to the right, the goats to his left. It's one way or the other. There will be no middle ground. Believers to the right, unbelievers to the left. Everyone else, hypocrites, unbelievers, they also go to the left. There's no middle ground. There's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. You're either on the right and saved, or you're on the left and condemned. The faithful on the right will be vindicated. They'll be proclaimed not guilty of their sin and welcomed into heaven. The unbelievers, on the other hand, will be declared guilty as charged and be cast into eternal punishment. When I was a youngster and would hear Jesus speak of separating the sheep from the goats, I always worried, have I done enough? Am I still doing enough? How do I know if I'm a sheep or a goat? And perhaps you're thinking the same thing this morning. Which one are you? Are you a sheep or a goat? Have you done enough, or have you dropped the ball and fallen short? Well, Scripture teaches us that if you are depending on your works and deeds for salvation, you've dropped the ball. On Judgment Day, if you're counting on being rewarded for all the things that you have done, all the things that you think that you have earned, you're going to be standing over on the left with the goats. You might think that you've done a good job, but your works, my works, and everybody's works, they're all imperfect. They're nothing but filthy rags. Now, while it sounds like Jesus is telling us in our text that you will be saved by your good works, he's actually teaching us quite the opposite. It is true, he names off a list of good deeds and works that he would love for us to do. He names it off to both the sheep and the goats, but before he mentions a single work or a single deed, he first separates the sheep from the goats. Next, notice that neither the sheep nor the goats are aware of the presence of Jesus hidden within the neighbor, hidden within the least of these. Of course, we would expect the goats to be surprised. They said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" We didn't expect such things from the goats. If they knew it was Jesus hidden in their neighbor, well, perhaps they would have waited on them hand and foot, but even doing that doesn't require faith. In their unbelief, the goats are only interested in themselves. They're only going to do good works and deeds if it serves their own purposes. The faithful sheep, notice, they're just as surprised as the goats. They didn't know that Jesus was hidden in their neighbor. "Lord, when did we feed you, give you drink, welcome you, clothe you, and visit you?" Completely unaware of Jesus hidden in the least of these. And the whole time, they're just living out their Christian faith. They're living out their vocation, not doing works and deeds because they thought it was earning them credits toward heaven, but they're doing them in the name of Jesus for the sake of the gospel. They're so oblivious to the connection between their works and their relationship toward God that the king has to explain it to them. The king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." They were serving their neighbor for the sake of their neighbor out of Christian love. They serve because they love their neighbor, not because they suspect Jesus is hidden somewhere in the path, in the person of neighbor. As I've said in the last couple weeks, as we looked forward toward Judgment Day, faith alone saves, but faith is never alone. Faith must have works to be genuine. Faith always displays good works and deeds flowing forth from the Christian as a declaration of your faith in Jesus, your faith and love and gratitude toward God. The works don't save, but they are your outward response to God and evidence to the world of what has happened in your heart. Faith receives everything. Your good works gain nothing. The sheep have eternal life by grace through faith in Christ alone. The goats, on the other hand, have hell by faith in self, by the sweat of their brow alone. God tells us that no human is predestined for hell. In our text, he says that this eternal judgment was a place that was prepared only for the devil and his angels. However, there's a time now where the unbelievers will be cast into eternal damnation. On the other hand, we see in our text, heaven was prepared before the foundation of the world. It is an inheritance that you receive. An inheritance is not something that you work for. It's something that is gifted to you. You come into possession of an inheritance as an heir at the death and behest of the owner. An inheritance is never earned. It's always gifted. An eternal life has been already prepared for you by the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. He's got it written down in his last will and testament of his blood shed for you. And there will be an end. And it is coming soon. Will you receive an inheritance? Are you a sheep? Or are you a goat? Is your heart Christ-centered? and cross-focused? Are you caught up with yourself? There's still time for repentance, so repent and believe the gospel. Repent and remember your baptism. Cling to God's promises made you in baptismal waters. Daily drown your old Adam, drown yourself to sin and evil desires, and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Saint Paul writes, God saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. I know that was a big section of scripture to read. You're never supposed to read that long of a piece of scripture during a sermon, but it is very applicable. In baptism, you became an heir of the King. Jesus Christ poured it out upon you and justified you by his grace. You are an heir to the inheritance. And what does the heir do? Nothing but receive and serve others out of love for Christ. In baptism, God made you his own child, an heir to eternal life. And in the hearing of the proclamation of the gospel and in the feasting of Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you, he continues to strengthen you in the true faith as you await that life eternal. And when that end does come on Judgment Day, those in Christ Jesus will not be rewarded with what they have earned. You will be rewarded what Christ has earned on your behalf, all bought and paid for by his precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You see, your eternal reward isn't based upon your actions. It's based upon the actions of your Savior. Then, having been named an heir in baptism, you will justly receive your eternal inheritance. It's God's free gift to you, and you will be declared a righteous sheep by grace through faith for the sake of Christ. The difference between the sheep and the goats is the difference between faith and unbelief. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you do. The faithful receive what has already been given them at the foundation of the world. It's their inheritance. They are blessed by God. And as a faithful sheep, do you drop the ball on occasion? Of course you do. Will you drop the ball again? Yeah, of course you will. Have you sinned by what you have done and what you have left undone? Yeah, we all have. The difference is faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in the God-man who entered creation to pay the price of your sins. He died on Calvary's cross to secure your forgiveness of sins and salvation. Salvation for all who believe. So repent and believe. Now, to be sure, as faithful sheep, Jesus expects us to act like faithful sheep, taking care of our neighbor, doing good works and deeds, serving those in need. It doesn't earn you salvation. It is what we do out of love. We don't do it because Jesus is hidden somewhere in our neighbor. Jesus says, when you have done all that you have commanded, just say, we are unworthy servants, and we have only done what was our duty. We pour out our deeds out of love. On this last day of the church year, and really every day, the faithful and forgiven sheep of the shepherd can look forward to the end of all things. You can anxiously look forward to the coming of the Lord in his glory. It is true, on this side of heaven, Jesus is hidden. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, hidden from our view, but the hidden Savior comes to you right where he promises to be. He comes hidden in your neighbor, in the least and the lowly, the most despised in the community. And he's not there to save you, but for you to serve. But most of all, Jesus comes to you here in worship, in the divine service. He comes to you hidden in his word. He comes to you in your baptismal promises and in his Holy Supper. And that is where he is to save you and to be your Savior, rescuing you from sin and death and lead you on into eternal life. On the last day, all who trust and believe in him will finally see Jesus face to face. And all believers will hear him say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.